And now back to
The Rich Eisen Show.
Now.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show.
He can't quit us. And we can't quit you either.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL reporter Jeff Darlington. ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan. Still to come, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're back from our dark week. Great chats in hour number one with Jeff Darlington and Jeff Passan of ESPN, both talking respectively the latest in the NFL and Major League Baseball, the latest on Dalvin Cook and also Josh Jacobs' franchise tag out there in Las Vegas, and also Saquon Barkley latest and DeAndre Hopkins latest in hour number one. And then in hour number two, Shohei Ohtani, will he be on the trade block? He's talking in the next hour in Seattle right now at the All-Star Game. Great chat with Jeff Passan. If you missed any of that, we re-air on the Roku channel as soon as this hour is over. There's our podcast where all podcasts are acquired. There's also our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, for all that good stuff once this show is over. Overreaction Monday is coming up on this program as we're back from our dark week, so there's lots to overreact to. This third hour kicks off with one of our favorites from Sports Illustrated out there in Las Vegas, Nevada. Covering the scene there in Las Vegas, Nevada, hovering around the entrance to catch to see if Nicholas Batum is going to be stalked by Debbie Gibson is none other than our friend Chris Mannix. How are you, Chris?
What's going on, Rich? I think I got maybe one of those references.
Okay. Did you have Wembanyama and Britney Spears on your summer league bingo card in any way, shape, or form coming into Las Vegas?
I did not. That was a fairly wild story to emerge, and to have Victor Wembanyama have to be asked about that, you know, right after his first practice at summer league was wild. I mean, it became a global story. You know, the video, I'm sure TMZ paid a fortune for. You know, pretty crazy over the last couple of days there.
Did anybody have the temerity to ask this question of Greg Popovich for his reaction? Anybody at all?
As far as I know, Pop hasn't done any kind of formal media. And look, I've done interviews with Pop sometimes over the years, and I would not ask that question, and I don't plan on someday asking that question.
So we're just going to leave it there and just move on with the actual basketball that's going on there. And in terms of that, I mean, it was a very NFL overreaction type moment to see the way Wembanyama played in his first game and extrapolate that to anything. And then Sunday night, obviously, he looked more like the first overall pick in the draft. How was that part of the conversation from your perspective over the weekend in Vegas, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, nobody that's been around the game reacted at all to Wembanyama's play in the opener. In fact, most people kind of focused on the positives that they saw. The obvious defensive presence. I mean, he had five blocks in that game. He blocked a three-pointer. He blocked a bunch of shots at the rim. He altered, you know, probably just as many at the rim. I mean, he is going to be, you know, maybe as soon as next season, an all-defensive team player. Like, he's that good. He's not vulnerable on pick and rolls in the way that most big men his size can be, and he's just a towering presence in the middle. He's going to be great there. I also was impressed with his playmaking in that opener. I mean, you know, he played off the dribble a lot, and he wasn't just forcing shots. He was looking for teammates. He had some nice shovel pass. Did some nice things there that opened my eyes a little bit. I mean, the rustiness, you know, you get the getting used to the NBA game after playing a lifetime of FIBA basketball. You get, you know, what referees will allow in the NBA. You're going to have to learn that on the fly. But, you know, anyone that thought that the game will be too strong for him, like, the guy played in the French leagues with, you know, 30-year-old men. Like, you know, he came the same route that Tony Parker came, you know, he was playing at a young age. So I'm not worried at all about Wembanyama's, you know, ability, not just to settle in quickly, but to dominate, you know, very early in his pro career.
Is this the first time you laid eyes on him in person, saw him in the flesh? Chris?
In the flesh, yeah. You know, I watched the game and the games he had in Vegas,
sure,
of course, and have seen a lot more. But yeah, he's impossibly long. I mean, that 8 foot wingspan is legit. He's just a physical specimen out there, and to be able to do some of the things that he's able to do is pretty remarkable. I mean, I think, you know, when you get, there are two things when you get into the NBA season that he's going to have to adjust to. One is, you know, guys are not going to challenge him softly. Like, they're going to drive into his chest. Like, they're going to make him be physical until he proves he can be, which may take a couple of years before his body starts to fill out. He's only 19 years old. And, you know, the other thing is that when, you know, he has a little bit of flair to his game and likes to play off the dribble. That's fine in summer league, and it was fine certainly playing overseas. But I mean, that ball takes a long time, Rich, to hit the ground when he's dribbling. He's just really tall, and you're going to see good defensive players able to reach in, do some things that disrupt him, and, you know, probably make him into something of a turnover machine, you know, early in his career. So he's going to have to figure out, you know, that he'll probably figure out early on that, you know, just collecting the ball at the top of the key and playing off the dribble. That's going to be a challenge for someone his size.
What do you make of the 5-year deal Greg Popovich signed and was announced over the weekend as well? What's your thoughts?
A little surprised
there?
The length of it. You know, my understanding too is that it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be the coach for the next 5 years. He's also the president of basketball operations there, and he could ascend into that front office role seemingly at any time. But you know, every time somebody I talk to about Pop, they don't get any impression that he's in any rush to retire. In fact, you know, last year you would think that it would be something of a draining experience. For Pop, it was kind of invigorating, you know, to coach young guys, not worry about wins and losses, and to just notice incremental improvement from the players that he was coaching. Now he gets his hands on, you know, the greatest prospect since LeBron, and according to some people, the greatest prospect ever. And, you know, he's going to have a chance to develop, you know, this next superstar. And, you know, you can't, you know, when you're Pop's age, you can't predict anything, you know, as far as how, if he's going to be able to, you know, do the things required of being an NBA coach, the rigors of being an NBA head coach. But for now, you know, Pop's out here in summer league. He seems energetic. I don't get any sense that retirement is anywhere close for Greg Popovich.
Well, seeing the 5-year deal, I thought of again, because I'm so, you know, football centric, Bruce Arians, when he retired, now there's always rumors that Brady and him weren't getting along or all that sort of stuff, but he said the reason why he stepped away when he did is he got to set up, you know, the Buccaneers in the manner in which he felt comfortable, and he had his own guy picked out, right? And so the question is, I'm wondering if Popovich has that same thought process at some point, and who might get that golden ticket, even though you don't want to follow in the footsteps. You always want to be the guy after the guy. But if you've got Wembanyama and you've got the Popovich seal of approval, that's, you talk about what an incredible gig, what a job. Who do you think, what do you got for me on that front as we're sitting here?
Yeah, it's a wide open field for who would replace him. Now, for the last few years, 4 or 5 years, there have been some strong candidates on that bench, younger candidates on that bench. You saw Will Hardy, who is an excellent head coach now in Utah. He was on that Spurs bench. Ime Udoka was on that Spurs bench. Becky Hammon was on that Spurs bench. So you had some in-house people. You still do in San Antonio, but, you know, Brett Brown is there. I don't know that he's looked at as the heir apparent necessarily to Greg Popovich. I think if and when he retires, and again, there's no indication that's right, coming anytime soon, but if and when he retires, I think you'll see kind of a national search, which may bring back someone from that Spurs pipeline, but it won't necessarily just be someone on that Spurs bench right now.
Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix, the crossover podcast as well, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. There's another first overall pick in the summer league. Is there any conversation about Chet Holmgren? You want to talk about somebody grown into a body? What are you seeing there at the summer league as well?
Yeah, put on about, I think, 13 pounds since the last time he was at summer league. It's pretty noticeable. He's got a long frame, so it's not like he's, you know, hulking up necessarily, but you can see much more definition to his body this year than you did last year. And even though he didn't play last year, you can see some confidence in his game too. I mean, he's, I saw him play in, I think it was the Salt Lake Summer League last year. And he was still good and long, but he was, you know, pretty weak. It seemed like, especially in the paint. And, you wondered how long it was going to take. This version of Chet Holmgren, you know, you can see him being that rookie of the year mix right away. You know, he's got skills, and if he's as aggressive in the NBA regular season as he's been at Summer League, you know, the Thunder might have something pretty early. And if you look at what Oklahoma City kind of needs, like to get to that next level, it's exactly what Chet Holmgren can potentially provide. I mean, they need size, they need rim protection, they need, you know, kind of that co-star, big man co-star alongside Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. I mean, they've got something already in Oklahoma City. And, you know, this version of Chet Holmgren, you know, the things he can do with his physicality and how he's able to finish at the rim, and his defense as well, I think they've got a chance to be firmly entrenched in the playoffs next season.
Well, I mean, we'll see if he can, you know, start strong, Chris. Maybe he can be the most improved player of the NBA in-season tournament, right? Could be one of those guys.
Oh, yeah, I'm psyched. I'm stoked for the in-season tournament, which I don't still fully understand. I just saw the press release, and like I read it once, and I'm like, all right, we'll deal with this in a couple months, whenever it comes around. But look, I get it. The NBA wants to, you know, make the early season more relevant. Mm-hmm. The ratings reflect that people don't care in November and December. It just is what it is, because football is king. And, you know, most people, you know, if you ask them, they would like the NBA to start around Christmas. Some people think the NBA does start around Christmas. So this is a way to tap into something new and fresh and, you know, give people something to potentially care about. It's also a way to, you know, keep a toehold in Vegas. The NBA is pretty invested in mm-hmm. what they're doing in Las Vegas now with the Summer League, and the semifinals and finals of this in-season tournament will be in Vegas. So I don't have a full firm grasp on exactly how all this is going to work, but, you know, it's been Adam Silver's, you know, dream for the better part of 5 or 6 years. And, you know, this is the year we see if it finally makes a difference.
Well, I understand the appeal internationally, and I understand, you know, you want to talk about adding some buzz to the regular season. The question is will they get buy-in from the teams and the players? You know, I mean, because November and December are the times where you got a lot of, for the old school phrase, load management, right? Like, let's keep guys fresh for later in the season. And I know back-to-backs will be part of it, but the front end will be the game, not the back end. And I don't know what that would mean when, you know, I guess that's my question, is what's the buy-in from the teams here from what you're hearing first blush?
I can say this. Well, two things. One, it's good that the NBA is doing all this in November and early December, because load management doesn't really kick in until January, February. Those are the dog days of the season, where teams really start, when you have injured stars or older stars, or even just guys that you want to manage, that's when teams really kind of focus on that. Early in the season, you're playing guys. Like, okay, November, that's the first 2 weeks of the regular season. You're playing guys out. Early December, you're probably still playing guys out. The thing is, like, if this was a true postseason, right, if this was the conference finals or the finals, you would see guys play through ankle sprains and play through certain things that they wouldn't play through in the regular season. I don't think this changes that. I don't think these games will be ultra competitive because some sort of title is on the line. I think guys will do it and they'll play hard, and, you know, it'll be the equivalent of an intense regular season game. But I don't see this becoming akin to what we see in the postseason. I just think we're miles away from that being the case.
Last one for you, Chris Mannix, joining us here from Las Vegas, Summer League action right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Where does everything stand right now with Damian Lillard? What do you got for me on that front?
Well, the Blazers have a media availability in about an hour over at the arena, and that's more to introduce some of their recent signings and young guys and things like that. But of course, Joe Cronin will be asked about, you know, Lillard stuff. My understanding is the Blazers really are nowhere with this. You know, Miami wants him. Miami has made an offer, but I don't think the Blazers believe it is the best Miami can and will offer. And around the league, while there's been interest in Lillard, there really, as far as I know, there haven't been any firm offers right now for Lillard. As teams kind of look and see how this Miami situation is going to shake out and keep trying to figure out if Lillard really will be disgruntled if he winds up traded there. So Miami, you know, somewhat smartly, is my belief is they're making some lowball offers to the Blazers, try to get him for as little as possible. And we'll see. This is kind of how these kind of high-level negotiations ultimately go. Like, you know, the Blazers are going to wait it out a little bit. They'll see if Miami ups its offer. They'll see if another team comes in with a strong offer. But my understanding of where we are now is that Miami is very much in the mix. They have made an offer to the Blazers for Lillard, but the offer's not good enough, and the offers around the league have either been, I mean, they've been mostly non-existent, I think. I have not heard of a firm, concrete offer from someone else for Damian Lillard.
Wow. And that's because they know this marriage is over and there's no way Lillard wants to be there anymore, so they think they've got Joe Cronin over a barrel? Is that what it is? Or
well, I mean, I think it's a lot of things. I mean, look, you know, Lillard's agent, and he said this publicly, has told teams, don't do it. Like, don't trade for my guy. And look, whether or not you believe that, it certainly is something for teams to digest. And this has all been happening, you know, relatively quickly over the last week. So I think teams are still trying to figure that out, sort through that. You know, the Sixers, you know, they have a James Harden situation to work on as well. So yeah, that sort of makes their position a little bit murky. So, you know, right now there just aren't teams that are going all in or really doing anything for Lillard. So at this point, you know, it's Miami and Portland kind of talking to each other, as far as I know. Those talks have not gone to a place that Portland believes is right to trade Damian Lillard for. So I think we're kind of at a bit of an impasse with Lillard and his situation.
And so what's the deadline? What do we have? Is it training camp? That doesn't matter.
I mean, there is a deadline. I mean, he's got 4 years left in his deal. And, you know, if you're Joe Cronin, you've got to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Like, if you bring Damian Lillard to camp, and, you know, obviously that's the story, you'll have more national media at Blazers Media Day than you would ever have before. And it would be a big deal, and it would be, you know, a distraction. But, you know, is it worth a distraction? Is it worth it not to have a distraction and take a below market deal? And I would say no. Like, this is a once in a general manager's, you know, professional lifetime opportunity to make the kind of deal that will reshape your roster for years to come. Like, you can't get the Bradley Beal deal for Damian Lillard. You've got to get something closer to the Kevin Durant deal or the Paul George deal, because, you know, the Bradley Beal deal, that didn't do much except get Beal's contract off the books in Washington. The Kevin Durant deal, you know, that set up Brooklyn with the kind of draft capital that they can, you know, live off for years to come. So I think you've got to be patient with this if you're Joe Cronin to make sure you get this right.
And what's the Harden holdup? I mean, is it a team other than Clippers?
Like, there's no real market for him at the moment. I mean, you know, he wants to play for the Clippers. Everybody kind of knows that.
Right.
The Clippers are in the same position as maybe Miami. It's like, well, we know Harden wants to play here. We believe there aren't many great offers, so you're not getting Terrence Mann. You're not getting our first-round picks. You can take expiring contracts if you want, and like a pick swap or a protected pick. But, you know, these offers for both Lillard and Harden, I don't believe they're anywhere close to what the best of teams could offer in those types of deals. And I'm not sure they're going to get there. I mean, if you're LA, like, why would you give the remaining of your draft capital, you know, for a guy that is both, you know, volatile, you know, and is because of all the things that have happened over the last couple of years, in the last year of his contract that you can't extend, you know, why are you going all in with multiple draft picks to get a guy like that? Especially when you're not really hard pressed to do it and you're not entirely sure that the Sixers have any other, you know, options. So it's distinctly possible. I think deals get done. We got months to go for training camp. But it certainly is possible that, you know, training camps open in late September and James Harden's in Philly and Damian Lillard's in Portland.
And you're in Vegas. Thanks, Chris. Greatly appreciate it. Let me know when you're back in LA, as always.
You got
always
it, Rich.
You bet. It's Chris Mannix. Love chatting with him right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I've got a thought about the Lillard deal that he just said? Let's take a break and then overreaction Monday, baby. Let's hit it. Don't go anywhere. That's how we're rolling right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
The average on-farm income in the United States was a loss of $1,100. 60% of U.S. pork comes from one company wholly owned by the Chinese. And farmers are more likely to commit suicide than veterans. Folks, we got a problem. I'm Lucinda, 8th-generation farmer and founder of Moink. Moo plus Oink. We offer grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and wild-caught Alaskan salmon, shipped straight from the heart of rural America. Come stand shoulder to shoulder with us by putting the family farm at the center of your supper table. What's in it for you? You mean besides saving the family farm and enjoying the highest quality meat on God's green earth? Geez, want me to hang the moon for you too? I'd love to.
Go to moinkbox.com/yum right now and get a free gift in your first order.
Get to getting while the getting is good.
Go to moinkbox.com/yum. Moinkbox.com/yum.
I guarantee you're fixing to say, oink, oink, I'm just so happy I got moinked.
Are you currently enjoying this show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. Good to see you, gentlemen, right here.
Very much. Good to see you, too, Rich.
Yeah, right back at you. Yeah.
Great to see everyone. Not just you, Rich.
I have a friend who, when he sees someone coming towards him, like in a room that he's supposed to know, he can tell I'm supposed to know this person, but I don't. Mm-hmm. He goes, there he is. There he is.
How are you as a ref, though?
Strictly what's called an AR, assistant referee. So I'm the guy who runs on the sideline with the flag.
I thought AR meant whole ref.
Well, that's what...
The shorts are pretty short, too. Pretty they're stocked in length right there.
Look at that ample thigh.
That's a ham hock right there.
Look at that. That's ready for that's ready for market.
So
you might want to smoke that for a couple days.
You guys want a slice?
Put some hickory around it. You know what I would genuinely love for you as a second career, if you ever decided you wanted a second career? Finally be a broadcaster. Be someone who's calling color. Right?
Rich, maybe you could give me a break.
I mean, that would boost ratings for whatever sport you were talking about.
What if I took over the Rich Eisen Show? Yes. Ron Burgundy did help announce the national curling finals in Ottawa, Canada. And they had all these ads for Tim Hortons Coffee, which is a big coffee chain for our Canadian listeners. And I just kept saying, all the signage, I'm like, who the hell is Tim Horton? Who does he think he is?
Is there any possibility that we see a Step Brothers sequel?
We haven't never talked about this face-to-face in public.
No, we haven't.
So let's break some ground here. Are we going to do Step Brothers too?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen either. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Put up the Photoshop anyway.
Aww, you make sense in that world somehow, Rich.
Check out all of our archives coming up on 9 years this fall of The Rich Eisen Show on our YouTube page.
Who the hell is Tim Horton?
Welcome back to The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at The Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Before we get to Overreaction Monday, let's pause here for a moment and talk about a little bit more about what Chris Mannix just mentioned. Calling in from the Summer League in Las Vegas, Nevada for the association. Where is the Damian Lillard trade? He says he wants out finally. He has identified Miami as the place he would like to go. And in the NBA, that normally means he's in Miami by sundown next day, right?
Right.
And here we are, about a week plus later? Almost coming up on a week and a half since he finally tapped his wrist to Portland, say Dame time's up here. I'm done. I went out. You know, one day of the new league year didn't, Jeremy Grant's re-signing didn't move the needle for me. I went out. So I think we're about day 9 of his trade request and nothing's happened. And Mannix just said
There's nothing going on right now. That Miami made an offer. Portland doesn't like it. Doesn't think it's fair market value for someone of Damian Lillard's age, talent, and one would say also fannies in the seats type excitement that he would lend to a franchise like Miami. Team that did, in fact, win the conference again, but found itself shy of the championship once again. And Miami gave an offer, and it wasn't to the liking of the team that knows the guy doesn't want in anymore. Has been told by the guy who doesn't want in anymore where he wants to go specifically. And thinks and believes the team that is the only team he's ever played for and loved, and the fans associate with this player, he's told him he wants out. He's going to the Hall of Fame based on his career in this one spot he's only played at, but he wants out, and he's told the team where he wants to go. And the initial trade that we're all expecting doesn't happen right away. Does this remind you of anything? Recent history. I'll tell you what it reminds me of.
What's that, Rich?
Aaron Rodgers, the Packers, and the Jets.
Oh, interesting.
Told the general manager, I want out. Says, I intend to play for this team.
True, true.
The whole world's like, that's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, she's like, wait a minute, why isn't it happening?
And then what happens?
He winds up going anyway.
Right.
This trade's going to happen.
Feels like it.
The whole question is when. And Maddox is like, they don't have to act fast. Season can begin. He could still be there. Training camp can happen. He could still be there. Didn't the Packers basically say, yeah, we'll hold on to him. We'll hold on to him.
Sorry, folks.
We don't have to worry.
Yeah, there's no rush.
Didn't we hear the same thing? And it happened. Because the Jets boosted it a little bit. Boosted. Swap first this year. Oh, and they love pick swap. I mean, we actually saw a pick swap in the NFL. That doesn't happen in the NFL. Happens all the time in the NBA. A lot of pick swaps. And then also another first-round selection next year, if everything goes right this year, which it's gonna, right? Doesn't that happen? Doesn't this, it's the same thing. So if Lillard says he's going on a darkness retreat, I don't know how great his reception is at the house. I don't know if Joe Cronin FaceTimes him or not.
Oh, yeah.
But other than that, I mean, this is the same damn thing where players like, you know, where we're wondering, like, has Damian Lillard handcuffed the Blazers' ability to get fair value for him because he has come out or handcuffed his ability to get out because he's made a declaration of exactly where he wants to go? Yeah. Remember that was for a hot minute? Rodgers went on McAfee's show and undercut his leverage and put the Packers in a spot because he said, I want to go play for the Jets. Same thing's happening right now.
Don't you think Aaron had more leverage than Dame simply because Aaron at least did bring a trophy?
I don't think so. I think it's the same damn thing. And actually, the NBA player is supposed to have more leverage than the NFL player. NBA player says, I want out. NBA player gets out. Well, you think Harden's going to still be in Philadelphia by the fall just because things aren't happening right now?
I actually do.
Really?
No way.
I do.
He's going to.
I think when the season starts, he's going to be playing for the Sixers.
I don't know about
when
that.
When the Clippers visit Philadelphia?
No, as nice. Starting next to Joel Embiid.
I don't know. I think right now we're in the, we don't have to do it right now. Clock hasn't struck midnight yet type thing, even though we're used to NBA players saying, I want out, I want to go there. All of a sudden, boom. That's exactly where you go.
Well, you know, famed 20th century poet Mick Jagger once said, you can't always get what you want.
What you want.
So he wants to go to Miami, right? As he's been told. If I'm Portland, I'm trying to pick that roster apart. I'm trying to leave bones there. So, okay, we'll send you there, but we're taking Bam. taken care of. They don't want Tyler, apparently. That's
not as the centerpiece.
You know, so. Yeah.
Well, Bam, that's who Daniel wants to keep there.
So if I'm Portland, I'm like, sure, we'll send you there. Give me Bam back.
It's going to happen.
I don't know.
I honestly feel like it's the same thing minus the darkness retreat and the odd FaceTime thing.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
It's the same thing. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. It's a Monday, and we've been off for a week, so there's a ton to overreact to.
Let's do this.
Hit it. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
What do you got over there?
We're all over the place. We got a few football, Mike, and then, you know, the rest of some hodgepodge.
So you say all use right. those DJ okay. skills, Mike.
Yeah. Use some DJ skills. All right. Been thinking about this. It's July 10th.
I'm aware.
Thinking about some MVP NFL futures bets I might want to make.
Uh-huh.
Trevor Lawrence. Sneaky 2023 MVP candidate.
Yeah, that's an overreaction.
What?
Yeah. What do you mean, what? What do you want me to tell you?
Did you watch the second half of the playoff
game? I did see the second half of the playoff game. I think that's still an overreaction, and I understand how that is something that Duval County will be very upset about. And I know Calvin Ridley's there, and I know how they finished.
That's what I'm saying.
I get it. I love Doug Peterson. I think they're the clear favorite in that division.
I'd pencil him into the playoffs.
But they're still the same old guys. Now, last year, if you told me Jalen Hurts is a sneaky MVP pick, I would have told you the same thing. So I get what you're – I'm picking up what you are placing down.
Thank you, sir.
But I would take the field if you were asking right now.
He's sixth in MVP odds right now.
Who Trevor Lawrence is?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to guess who's in front of him?
Sure. Burrow.
Yes.
Mahomes.
Yes.
Hurts.
Yes.
Dak Prescott.
Not Dak Prescott, pal. Josh not. Allen.
Josh Allen
and one more. And there's a fifth one, right?
Micah fifth Parsons. One.
He's a quarterback?
He's a quarterback.
He's
got very beautiful hair as well.
Herbert?
Justin Herbert.
Yeah, there you go. See, there you go. No Lamar Jackson, huh? I'd put Lamar Jackson absolutely.
Oh.
Absolutely, I would.
I think that Trevor Lawrence has better weapons.
I would say I would put Lamar Jackson as a better, what did you call him?
Sneaky.
I would say he's a better sneaky one. What are his odds? Where does he stand on your little gambling chart? Where does he stand in your little gambling chart?
Let's see. He's right after.
Okay.
He's right after Lawrence. So, he's seventh.
Okay. Yeah. What else you got
same
over there, Chris?
Same as Rogers.
What else?
Here about the.
What was that?
D-Hop's just sitting around.
Yeah.
No mystery team is coming to save this guy. He's on the Titans or the Pats this year.
I would agree with that, unless he lowers whatever his costs are. It seems like. You heard Jeff Darlington say in hour number one, the Bills would be all over him joining there. Absolutely, he's a value add. There's no question he's a value add. But if he wants to be paid like Odell, and I understand that Odell made $15 million coming off of a knee injury. He didn't play,
I still can't believe he got that.
I know. So he's probably looking at that saying, I can get one of them too. And I don't know if the Titans did this is a crazy thing too, is that do you think the Patriots are in that neighborhood?
No, absolutely
the Patriots
not.
Don't pay people like that,
the
right?
The Patriots are probably in the 8+, incentives.
Right. I'm so guessing. He's probably sitting around, but I agree. I don't believe anybody's out there that's going to say, all right, I'll pay the $12 million. I'll come in the general direction of Odell, and they're anybody that's got a shot to win the Super Bowl that you would think, right? Or anybody that was a receiver would join the receiving room of anybody that we just mentioned in front of Trevor Lawrence for MVP odds, right? Preseason. So I'm with you. I don't think that's an overreaction at all. Fair. I think Dalvin Cook will wind up having more suitors in his financial neighborhood than DeAndre Hopkins.
He's only got one though right now.
Well, that we know of.
Yeah.
What else?
I think one big record's going to be broken this year. I don't know what it's going to be.
What's the big record?
But I feel like a record's going down. Sacks, receiving yards, pass yards, something like that is going down this year. I think we're going to have a record-breaking season.
Well, since Mahomes last year set records, I mean...
What do you mean? He didn't set any records?
Yeah, I think like the most combined, you know, total yards ever.
What does that mean?
What do you mean? What does
that
mean?
That's not a real record.
Sure it is.
I'm talking about sacks, receiving yards, passing yards, touchdowns. Right. I don't know.
Okay.
Something's going down.
I'll buy that.
All right, not feeling all right.
I'm not feeling that.
Moving on. Moving on.
Okay.
I'm not going to be as crazy as you last year about the Raiders.
Yeah.
Okay. But I am going to say the Broncos are winning 10 games this year. And I think I'm alone on that. On that island.
Wow. Well, he just mentioned the Raiders. You don't have to keep playing.
Javonte Williams says he's feeling great, coming back. We got Tim Patrick back and healthy. Russ is posting workout videos.
Yeah, no, I see it.
And he's got 14 bathrooms. He looks awesome. Sean Payton's there. Broncos. I'm not saying make I'm not
10
make playoffs.
Games.
I'm not saying division, obviously.
Can you put up the Broncos
10 games.
Can you put up the Broncos schedule?
I'm just calling
please?
My shot.
No, I understand it. I want you to give me the 10 wins.
On July 10th.
I want you to give me the 10 wins. So they start with Vegas, then they're home for Washington.
That's
at
a
Miami.
1-0.
At Miami, at Chicago, home for the Jets.
Hold on. Commanders, 2-0.
I'll give you 3 wins there.
All right, maybe they
at Kansas City, home for Green Bay, home for Kansas City.
Are we sure
City.
The Bears are going to be anything?
No, I gave you 3 wins into the front. That 3-2, you're off to a good start.
Oh, yeah, 3-2, good start.
All right, I'll give you one more win in the next 3, so that's 4.
Home for the Vikings is a
4
win.
Out of 8, so they have to do a little bit better than .500 the rest of the way.
There's a 3-game win streak. Vikings, Browns, Texans.
That's great.
The Chargers are that's going to be a weird game, so they're going to split with them.
Seven.
The Lions, everyone needs to slow down.
Yeah.
Everyone's got to slow down.
Everyone needs to slow down.
Slow and rolls there,
the,
huh?
The Pats defense, that might be a 10-7 game. That's a coin flip. The Raiders are going to stink. So
wins. I think they still have too many flaws. I'll say it's an overreaction at the moment, but you made me think about it. What else you got
over
there, Chris?
I'm here to make you think, Rich. All right, Mike, you can switch music. Okay, so game one, Wemby plays. I opened up a document and I was like,
I knew it would be like he's hot garbage.
Wemby's going to be a bust, right? Scoot's going to win Rookie of the Year. Then Scoot gets hurt. Then Wemby dominates. I'm going the other way.
Oh.
Remember what Giannis looked like when he came into the league?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a blueprint for what he could look like,
right? Yeah, sure.
And he's already entering the league with a far superior skill set.
So he's gonna win an MVP sooner than Giannis did?
Win an MVP by 25.
That's 6 years? I'll say that's not an overreaction. Two summer leagues in. Two summer league games in.
Giannis was 25 when he won MVP.
Okay. I'll say he beats Giannis to an MVP. Okay.
He's got already a superior skill set than entering the league.
I'll buy it.
Just throw it out there.
How about Manek saying he could be a defensive player of the year candidate?
That seems a little bit more. I mean, he's blocking everything. The guy's 7'5".
I know. He's standing underneath the rim and blocking 3-pointers. Like he looks like he belongs in the Fantastic Four. He really does.
He had a wide open 3 and he got out and blocked it.
All right, I'll buy it. That's a good overreaction. All right. I'll take it. What else?
It was a cute story to start the Major League Baseball season. Oh, the Rays are so fun.
Yeah.
They're not winning the AL East. Come on.
So who is? I'll tell you who might win the AL East.
Baltimore.
I think it would be Baltimore too.
Yeah.
I just watched what they did to the Yankees. They dropped the first 2 against the Yankees in a 4-game set, and they had lost 6 of 7, and they won the last 5 games. I mean, they lost 6 of 7 just before the All-Star break, just when the kids are apparently thinking of making their Cabo plans or whatever, you know, that they're not in the All-Star game, and they won 5 in a row. I like them. They are gritty and gutty.
You have the number one pick for like a decade straight.
No, I mean, but they're getting it right, and they're putting it together.
Yeah, they're impressive.
Yeah. By the way, if they don't win the division after starting like the 84 Tigers, that'd be a shame. Well, I'll tell you what, it ain't. It's not. It's either of our teams, pal.
No. Although we're heating up a little bit.
Yeah, nice high register. I heard it.
Well, we have a we're playing on a bad team, so we should be winning these games coming up. Look, speaking of fun, cute stories. All right, look, I went to Anaheim during our week off. It was great. Trout and Ohtani and Homers. It was cool. Guess what? They immediately got hurt. It's time for a complete rebuild. Angels should trade both Trout and Ohtani.
Wow. My God.
Both
of them.
Both.
No way. I don't think Trout's ever leaving Southern California. Ever.
He will never play in a playoff game.
I think that's an overreaction. I think that's an overreaction. But I think it is. They have to sit down Ohtani and say to him,
where do you want to go?
What is up? What are you thinking? Because, look, the handwriting's on the wall. We are now one game under 500. Trout is hurt. There is no way you are going to have at least a better sense of certainty by trading deadline that we're making the playoffs this year. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. You know, guys love you. We love you. Here is a contract that starts with a number 7. Okay? This is what starts with a 7.
So much money.
It starts with a 7.
That's a lot. What is it, 12 for 7?
Whatever. Sure, whatever. Right. You name it. You put the year in. Okay? 10, 12, whichever one. You want to come for 10, $70 million a year. Great. 12 years or whatever. We're fine. Whatever you want. This is what we want. And if he says no to it, then you take every phone call on planet Earth. That's what the Angels need to do. And they got to look them in the face and say, we want you here, and this is how badly we want you here. Starts with a 7.
You want the Matterhorn? Take it.
That's it. Yeah. You want the Knots and the berries and the farm? Yeah. It's right around the corner.
Adventureland, take it.
Yeah. You might enjoy it here. It's nice. The weather's cool.
I know. And so he'll just chill here and be fine with it and grit his teeth and hope that they get it right at some point.
Yeah. Make his money, play baseball.
Oh, yeah.
That's
the Pacific Ocean right there.
Yeah. Go home in the offseason.
But Trout's never leaving. You got you got to tell the fans who do show, like, we got you.
Rich, I went to the game.
I hear you. I know. Don't
a lot of fans.
Don't go there.
Yankees are playing next
week. All right, last one. Summer vacation. Goat vacation. It's a goat of vacations.
Summer vacation.
Oh,
I'm more beach than ski any day of the week, as you know. Beach any day of the
all
week.
All of them. Well, what other vacation is there? A winter vacation?
Of course.
Where they're staying. Thanksgiving break, or I don't know.
What's that? I haven't had a Thanksgiving break in 20 years. What are you talking about?
Thanksgiving break.
Winter vacations.
Go to vacations.
I think this is the only vacation.
Well, here's what we're going to do. I agree. That's not an overreaction. We're going to take a break, and we're going to show everybody what we did on our dark week.
Oh, nice.
Even though, as you know, some people have already let fathers know what they did on their dark week. Just saying. It's called an Instagram life.
Yeah, you're living it.
I'm not. I'm talking about Wembanyama. What are you talking about? Britney Spears. I know what she's doing in her summer vacation. She's going to catch. Back here, I'm feeling great about myself. Susie just texted, said the shirt looks great. So it's now officially in the rotation. It's in.
Back.
It's in.
I would just recommend, you know, if I could just offer something.
What?
Don't wear jeans with that.
Why? Because it looks like a Canadian tuxedo?
A little bit.
Sort of khakis?
Khaki sitch.
Well, you know what, though? I got the invitation to the Rich Eisen Show Blue Party. I'm wearing blue.
Oh, nobody else got the invitation.
Is that right?
Yeah. just looking around the studio.
I invited Leo, Jay, you know.
Tom Brady. Yeah. Tom coming?
Jay is in Z.
Yeah, Tom.
Tom. Invited Tom.
Boy. Emily.
Yep.
Was were any Cowboys there? Did Cowboys get the invite?
Yeah, Micah Parsons.
Micah was there?
Of course. Okay. He's everywhere.
No, Dak. People are souring on Dak.
Dak is working, dog.
By the way, I got one. Be. All right. I already
Precious making diamonds.
I already have a What's More Likely for Friday. Get ready.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
So wait a minute. You give an eye roll because Dak wasn't at a party? If Dak was at a
party. Oh, I think it's an indication that people are souring on Dak.
No, yeah, Dak was at the party, then people have been talking trash about Dak Prescott should have been working on this game, not at this party.
Dak's Q rating is dropping.
No one cares about no Q rating, man. We're trying to win on the field.
Yeah. Try harder.
Try harder. I mean, let me pick up some back stats.
Dallas at Giants. Whole like country tuning in on Sunday night football. Dallas at Giants. You better win that game.
We're going to win all the games.
September 10th. Today's July 10th.
Except the playoff games when it matters.
Today's July 10th. 2 months from tonight. Cowboys. G-men. The whole country.
But we're 59 days, right? Thought I saw yesterday. Yesterday was 60, I think.
Yeah.
I think today's 59.
Okay, what to till the Chiefs and then your overreaction at the Lions?
Oh yeah, well, get ready for some Lions takes coming up.
Okay. I'm with you on that one, Chris.
That's a problem for you, Chris.
I don't know, man.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show, we had a great dark week. When I say we, I'm not just talking. That's not the royal we. I'm a team player.
No, it is the royal we.
No, it's not. Not at all. There's a we on the Rich Eisen Show. Or we are the royalty.
We are.
I believe every member of our staff or most everyone provided a photograph of what they did on a dark week. Nice. I think we start with Sean Mitchell. You referred to it. We heard him as Smitch. Our digital coordinating producer. Is that him front right there?
Front right.
Front left? Front left.
Well, front right.
Oh, he's being covered by the splash of a white water rafting.
Oh, he had it worse than I thought.
Oh, he ate it right there. There he is.
Boom. Yeah, that was pretty dope.
That is definitely not the way I spent my dark week.
No.
At all. Look at the rapids. Okay. Well done. Jordan Sherrow, Rich Eisen Show editor. He bought a new house. Look at that.
Whoa.
Hey.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at that. Man, what am I paying people? Enough to get a mortgage.
Holy cow.
All right, there you go.
Wow.
There we go. That's well awesome. Done. The Sherrow is beautiful. Can you put that up one more time right there? Look at that beautiful house. Trip. There you go. I like it. And I, by the way, enough for you to go, I think, in the pool, Mike. Look at that. Very nice. Beautifully appointed. I like it. Thank you. Liz, our core executive producer of this program, she went to Big Bear. Look at that.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Big Bear looks beautiful this time
it's
of year.
Full the lake.
Very nice. Adam Chudwin, our calls, our screen, a call screener. He's a Chicago guy.
Look at that.
Behind us sits the stadium where the breakout star of 2023, Justin Fields, will play his home game.
Nice.
There he is. Is that his buddy who gets him his gummies? You know what that is?
Gummies.
Gummy bears, guys.
Yeah, we do.
What's the matter with you?
I mean, California gummies.
By the way, that's how far is he from Soldier Field right there?
Well, there's a marina behind.
I know
Soldier
that. It's beautiful. By the way, yeah. Chicago's a beautiful spot.
Chicago is a great.
I'm glad he pointed out that was Soldier Field. I have no idea. Well done. All right, Mike Hoskins, our coordinating producer, who's also shown all these photographs. He went to his ninth birthday party of his niece, Emma. Happy birthday to Emma. There she is.
Happy birthday.
Best uncle ever.
Nice.
He's going to have that sign on his desk. Yeah, beautiful. Young lady and a wonderful cake.
Yeah.
He also got us a present, apparently, out by our coffee machine. Tim Hortons. There it is. One of our favorite drops from Will Ferrell back in the day.
Who the hell?
There it is. Tim Hortons.
Who the hell is Tim Hortons?
There it is. I like it. Well done. We're going to try it. We're going to try the coffee. All right, now we're entering our studio. Mike Del Tufo, we know what you did because that's all we see. You're just driving around. There's Grogu in the back.
It's my guy.
Baby Yoda.
Oh, my gosh. Boy, nice chiclets.
Have your teeth gotten whiter?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They
are. I keep clean.
Are you filtering? You putting a filter on your teeth on Instagram?
No, I don't do that crap. Come on.
All right.
There's no filter. This beauty comes
Mike, they're white.
All right. Very nice. Chris Brockman.
Hey.
I've heard you have multiple photos. Let's see.
Hey.
Let's see. Here we go.
He asked for some pictures.
There we go. Look at Cage.
My sister was here.
Sarah looks
playing mini golf.
Here we go.
That's us at the Angels game.
That's it.
And then we were watching some 4th of July fireworks.
Beautiful. Love it.
Far left.
What a beautiful family you were building.
Thank you.
I you know what I did. I ate.
You ate food.
Oh, look at that.
My man.
Yeah. That's it. That's the SY Kitchen in beautiful Santa Ynez on the left.
Nice.
There's the Inamatized Tavern in beautiful Los Olivos. Look at that breakfast. Look at that.
Look at that.
Nell's Kitchen on the right. Oh, baby. Tell me you wouldn't want a piece of what's on the screen.
I'm hungry now.
Coffee and red wine. We went to Sideways Country.
I haven't eaten today.
Amazing.
So I'm hungry.
Oh my God. TJ, let's see what you did on your dark week. Let's see what TJ did. He submitted nothing.
Oh, come on.
That's what you said.
Nothing.
Although here's the great thing is you said you stayed off of social media and everything, right?
Yeah, it was great.
This is great. So, you know, I joined Threads.
We all did, right? On the first day.
Did you join Threads?
Yeah, I did.
Hey, this is great. There you go. Twitter banned me, so here I am. Very good. And I put my first one, is this thing on? Was my first thread.
Like, what are we doing here?
And somebody responded. This is amazing. This is like, here's from, well done, the real big TO. I hope TJ doesn't get banned from this platform. It's one of the first replies ever.
Hey, real big TO, I'm going to do my best.
By the way, these are first threads we're putting on the air.
Great.
Threads.
Yeah.
You know, my friend Matt, like 20 years ago, we were sitting at our friend's house who lived on Laurel Canyon, and he, right when I moved here, and he goes, bro, you realize something? He goes, people save up for years to come here to vacation for a week, and we live here.
I know.
So I'm like, I don't feel the need to ever go anywhere. I stay here.
Well, that's what we were up to.
You know?
That's what we were up to. We were threatening and drinking.
Now we're back.
We're back.
We're back, baby. We're back.
Singing Britney songs.
We'll see you Tuesday.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Collision has been struggling a little bit out of the gate with these ticket sales.
A little bit out of the gate. This was a major show announced on a major network with what everybody thought was this huge star, CM Punk. I said he was going to be the biggest financial flop in wrestling history, and I think I'm being proven right every minute of the day.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.